Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I had just received a prayer request, and I asked for the name, but I haven't gotten it yet. An elderly woman in hospice is leaving this life, but our prayer this morning would be that she doesn't leave this life without knowing the Savior of this life. So if you'll join with me there, and then we'll pray over this. Father God, we do come before your throne, and Lord, we are about your business, your heavenly business. Lord, adding members to the kingdom of God. So this morning, Lord, even as this life in this world is fading, Lord, we ask that by your Spirit to her the salvation message, even as my friend speaks with her, and Lord, that she would receive with full understanding what this is all about. Amen. That she would enter into her eternity knowing indeed the love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, we ask that you will come here this morning by your Spirit. We invite you to walk amongst us this morning, to be present with us as we would bring forth worship and praise to your name, but also hear what you would have to say to the church. Give us ears to hear, Lord, this morning, what you would speak to us in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
We're going to be using 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, and Colossians 1, 29. The 1 Chronicles 29:11 is going to be from the New King James Version, and then the Colossians 1:29 is the Contemporary English Version, but we'll say that out loud together. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. That's why I work so hard and use the mighty power he gives me. Praise God.
And can we say hallelujah to that?
Hallelujah. makes me sing.
Let's sing hallelujah again with our voices. Hallelujah.
This is a time we get to celebrate and return to the Lord what He's blessed us with. So, Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to give back to You. Lord, You just supply all our needs. We are so grateful and so trusting in You, Lord. We give with honor. We give with respect. We ask You to bless these gifts throughout this community, that it would go to spread Your word and that many would be saved here and abroad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we are in awe of You. You provide for everything we need, Father God. Our checkbook doesn't balance. We don't know where everything is coming from, because the paper doesn't add it up, doesn't match. But I know, and we know, that everything comes from You. We are never empty when we are with You. And Lord, Your faithfulness abounds. And now it is our turn to be faithful to Your word, to Your giving. And so, Lord, we lift up these tithes and offering to You, Father God. Multiply them, Father God, to reach the places where You want them to go. Here in Tucson, internationally, wherever You want them to be, Father God. And Lord, we are so thankful that You are using us to help support the people that answered Your calling, Father God, to preach the good news. Persecuted or not, they are for Your honor and Your glory. And may this tithes and offering help. And we know it will, because of Your blessing and Your love. We thank You, Lord, that we are here to support the very foundation of our founder, to reach the lost. And thank You, Father God, for blessing this tithes and offering. Thank You for multiplying them. And thank You, Lord, for the cheerful givers and the faithful hearts, Father God, to answer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
So what'd you think of that worship song during the offering? I didn't warn you. I should have forewarned you. I kind of stretched some people there. But I told you how, you know, when you, anyways, I won't even get to, it was a roundabout way how I even came across that, and how then I felt the Lord wanted me to share that. So anyways, long story short, it was like, wow, Lord. But then I was watching the YouTube video of them and hearing the testimony of this group, Anthem Lights, and it was just really neat hearing the testimony of the song of the lead of this group was incredible. But I thought, Lord, thank You, because, you know, we need to remember to have Your heart. Get us out of our mind. Our mind tends to get too much focused on this and that and the other. And we need to remember what His focus is His love, to be able to be shared to everybody and spread throughout this world, for them to know His Son and the power of His love. The power that is all-consuming, and all that His love has to offer for each one of us, and encourage those who are Christians to continue in His love. As the lead writer was like, Lord, here I am a Christian, but all this stuff, get me out of my mind, because all this stuff is going on, and back to Your heart. Back to Your heart of You, and the whole purpose I'm here is to love You, obey You, and to love others. And so I stretched this with using this because it was so neat to see them in concert and so many youth. And it's like, Lord, one day we'll be reaching plenty of youth. And remember, we're going to be stretched some with our worship. The Lord has instructed that. So I just want us to be open that because it's not about us. It's about him and it's about reaching others. Don't worry, we'll still get our hymns and all of that I love, you know, too. But we're going to be stretched. And I think the Lord warned me that I'm going to be stretched, which I love. Like, I mean, I don't know if there's any music I don't love. I mean, yeah, there's more of my favorites than others. But so I just thought, wow, okay, Lord, I want to be open to that. I want to not be set in my ways, and I want to be open to what your way is and how to reach. That's the main thing, is to reach. So I wanted to share that with you. But I just before I get into this message, I just want to thank you all for your prayers. This has caught me off guard in the sense that I have not realized this grieving process, as I've shared with some, and mourning process is so much more heavy and difficult than it ever has been before with anybody else I've ever lost. And so I wanted to just be a recluse and just be at home. Tuesday night after prayer, it was extremely hard to be there at prayer. And then I was just thoroughly exhausted just that little bit of time being here with prayer. Wednesday, I had to sleep a lot of the day and cry a lot of the day. I felt like being a recluse. I just wanted to just cry and sleep and mourn. And it was just really difficult. And then feeling like I was failing the church because I was grieving so. I was doing my fasting, but the prayer time of praying for the church family and what God had, I admit I have not been there. My heart has been so heavy and grieving. And here I go, Lord, as the leader of this church, you've called us to 24 days of fasting and prayer, and I'm failing. But I am crying out to you in my pain and my agony and the mixed emotions and the feelings. And I thought, well, you know what, Lord? This is what our church is going to be too. Our church is going to be a church of healing emotionally, helping those who are mourning and grieving, helping those who are going through tough times. Because it could be the grief and loss isn't just by a death of somebody, but it can be a job or a relationship or a move or, you know, something taken away of some sort. And so it's like, Lord, that's what our church will be. And I just wanted to share with you, it's just been a tough week. But then being here, getting ready, crying out to God, Lord, I'm feeling so sick inside, so heavy, so empty. And here I am. I need you. I need you to strengthen me to stand here and to give the message that I feel you've given us, because I was so excited about it last week, sharing with you what God had given, even in the midst of losing it all because of my computer, or whatever happened, and the challenge of that week. And I just was like, Lord, I'm excited, but my matched joy and emotions aren't there right now. But it's okay, because there's a time of mourning. So before I say this, I want us to remember that the power of what God has given this word and the scripture and this message is still there. But you may not see the total emotional side of Pastor Karen that you usually see. And it's not that my heart isn't joining in this and isn't there all the way. It is totally and completely. It's just that the grieving and the mourning process is pretty heavy right now. And that's matched. But that's where we need to remember, we don't trust our emotions and we don't trust our feelings. We trust in our Heavenly Father, and we trust in His Word, and we trust that He is faithful and He is true and He is love and He is compassionate and caring. And He is the one carrying me right now through this time. And I know we've all been through this time. And there's more times like this to come of grieving and mourning for each of us. But we all are going to be there for one another. So before I share this word, I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and I pray that you will touch each of our eyes to see exactly what you want us to see. Touch our ears and help us to hear exactly what you want us to hear. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your word for Pathway of Hope. I thank you for your precious holy word and all the faithful promises and the power of your word. Lord, the scriptures that we can lean on, rely on, and depend on, because it is filled with you, your power, your love. So Lord, we come before you right now with open hearts. May you speak to our spirits, our souls, our minds, our whole being. May we receive everything that you want each of us to receive. For Lord, I am just your vessel, your instrument to be used. May the words that I speak not be mine, but yours, in and through me. So we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of the word. The word is very powerful, and we know that. For those of us who are believers, we know the power of his precious holy word. The first power was when you really truly received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That was awesome, huh, that day. And this is our God, the power of his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But as you know, I love the Amplified. And the Amplified says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living and conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to remember that as Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 says, for my thoughts, God's thoughts, are not our thoughts, neither are our ways his ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is his precious holy word that goes out of his mouth. It will not return to him empty, but this precious, holy, mighty, powerful word will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. He is faithful. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And verse 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, the next slide, 62. It says, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Genesis 18, 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. This was an awesome miracle of Sarah in her older age and the promise of God finally fulfilling something he said he would do many, many years before. And he's saying, I know she's older, Abraham. I know you're older. And I got it under control. I said I would promise you a son. It would be between you and your wife, Sarah. I've got it under control. Nothing's too hard for me. My word was spoken, and it will be. And it was. And then you have Luke 1:37. Now, we just celebrated Christmas. We celebrated Mary finding out that she was pregnant. We celebrated Elizabeth finding out even before. Another example of somebody older, barren for all their life, older in life. And she, Mary's cousin, is pregnant with John the Baptist. And the angel Gabriel is telling Mary, nothing shall be impossible with God. For nothing shall be impossible. As he's explaining that your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant too. And then we have Mark 10:27. And Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible. The same thing is said in Matthew 19:26. The same example. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Yes. And then the same example, Luke 18:27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. This Jesus said to the gentleman whose son could not be healed. And then he says, okay, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm having this lack of faith. Like I've heard, and maybe he's even seen the miracles and signs, but okay, I believe, but help my unbelief because he's got some doubt struggling with. And Jesus hears his heart and meets him right where he's at. Father crying out, and Jesus heals his son. And then Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And that's where Jesus met that gentleman. He saw that that gentleman had, the father had the faith, the grain, the size of a grain of mustard seed. And Jesus goes on to say, ye shall unto this mountain remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you if you believe. And he knows. And if you're having struggle with some doubt, cry out like that father did. And Genesis chapter 11 verse 6 says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. The power of unity and the power of believing is seen right there in the Tower of Babel. As we, the body of Christ here at Pathway of Hope, we believers join in unity in believing in the God where nothing is impossible. Nothing's too difficult or hard for him. Even if we're at times struggling and we have faith the size of the grain of mustard seed, in unity, pulling together, knowing that God can pull that faith and match his faith with your faith, the size of a mustard seed, encompass it and move. And he will, as we join together in this time of prayer and fasting and beyond, not stopping, continuing to have this heart that is out of our mind and the things going on here, but into the heart of the Lord and going out and wanting to reach this area and way beyond with the power of his love, with the power of his truth. Watch what God will do. Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 50 says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." The disciples saw the kingdom of God come with power because they believed, and they were followers of Jesus. They were disciples. They wanted to learn and grow, and they wanted to be obedient to him, and that's when the kingdom power shall be seen. Jesus is coming soon, and we have who have joined hearts together will see the power of the kingdom here moving. Luke 17:21 says, "Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." But we need to join together and not quench the power that is within us, that is given to us when Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. Genesis, the first book of the Bible in the Old Testament, we see in Genesis chapter 1, the power of words. We see verse 3, it says, "Then God said, Let there be light, and there was light." In verse 4 it says, "And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." That was the first day. The second day, verse 6, "Then God said," verse 7, "and it was so." Verse 9, "Then God said," verse 9 at the end, "and it was so." Verse 10, "And God saw that it was good." Third day, verse 11, "Then God said," and it was so. Verse 12, "And God saw that it was good." Verse 14, "Then God said," and it was so on the fourth day. And verse 18, "And God saw that it was good." Verse 20 on the fifth day, "Then God said," verse 21, "And God saw that it was good." And God blessed. Verse 24, on the sixth day, "Then God said," and it was so. Verse 25, "And God saw that it was good." And verse 26, "And God said." And then verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And then goes on, "Then God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply it, and have dominion over the earth," etc. And then God said, and it was so. At the end, verse 31, "Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good." And God said, "It was so. It was very good." This word is God said, and it is so, and it is very good. There is power in words, and scientists did a study. I had heard this from a pastor who had seen another pastor had invited, and this was a pastor that was a traveling evangelist, and she said that a pastor friend in Maryland had invited her over to see this documentary, and this was years ago. I had seen this, but then I saw that she didn't say who it was, the scientist, so I don't know if it was Dr. Masaru Emoto, but she said on this one, it sounds like it might be a little bit different than what I had read about Emoto, so it may have been other scientists. But the scientists had done a study and found that the words can change things. They did an experiment involving putting water in a crystal glass tube, and they spoke to it the words death several times and then put it in ice. It formed an ugly, demonic-looking crystal, dark, gray, deformed, looked demonic. And then they did this to another tube of water and spoke life, light, several times. This became brilliant, like a beautiful snowflake. Then they repeated it with the word sick several times, and it became deformed. And they continued the experiment with negative and positive words spoken several times with results as mentioned. As they continued with this scientific study, they found that everything in the world is made of atoms. And they broke down, the atoms broke down and to find out that find out what makes an atom. And it was words. So God made the world into existence by the words of his mouth, as Genesis said. So the scientists found out that words form things. Because everything in the world is made of atoms, and atoms are made from word. And at the end of this study, as seen in the documentary, the scientists who did this study said, as they did research, they found that Christians have already figured this out. They ended their study with scripture, and one was from Mark 11:23, saying that what you say and believe in your heart and do not doubt, it will happen. And the verse before that is Mark 11:22, which is Jesus saying, have faith in God. And one of the translations says, have the faith of God. Have faith, my paraphrase is, have faith in the faith of God. The faithful one, all powerful, always moving. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 says, I, Jesus, tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith, believes in me, will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. But then he goes on to say, if you love me, keep my commandments in verse 15. So we see on these slides of Dr. Emoto's experiments that were on the internet, and this is shown by slides, we see the slide of truth. Look at that, beautiful, like a crystal, like snowflake. Truth was spoken to that. Peace was spoken into the one with a glow around it, but yet a snowflake. Eternal, look at that one, beautiful. But when they spoke evil, look at that one. You disgust me. There's not even connection there. You fool, that one is dark. And yet it has a darker surrounding it. Haze around it. Then we see what they did was they spoke into it the speech of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Look at that, beautiful. And yet still kind of like that peace one, kind of like a glow around it. And then there was one, water exposed to an emerald stone. An emerald stone is one that of the stones that the priests wore on their ephod. But then look at the next slide. A heavy metal song. Look at that. A lot of discoloration and a lot of not connection. And the words, if you've ever heard in most heavy metal songs, are not good words. But look at the snowflake, beautiful picture with amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Beautiful, huh? To see that. The power of words. So just think of us, Jesus. Jesus is in us, and we are continuing to speak Jesus, and the living water that is in us can reflect into the lives of others, pouring out onto the lives of others, because there's power in Jesus and the power in the cross. And our word for this year, I felt, was power. P-O-W-E-R, power. And then I had an acronym with the word power. And it is provided only with enabled responsibility. Or enabling responsibility. And then I got the verse Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Catalina, Tucson, and all Judea, Arizona, and Samaria, the United States, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth, the world. The power that will be provided for us only with enabled or enabling responsibility, that that is not just for here, but it is for beyond. And as we listen to the Lord, as we're obedient to the Lord, as we are seeking him, as we have eyes to see and ears to hear, wow, watch what will happen. See, we see the power, and slide 69 shows that we are to receive what God has to give to each and every one of us. For he has the key. And we will see the fire spread from here. For we will be called a city on the hill that cannot be hidden. We will help set the captives free by the divine grace, 15. And the John 3:21 plus John 6:21, it will happen. That power will happen. So we add that to this next slide. 2014, the word power. But remember, we need to continue to also use that power with his divine grace to be able to reach others. And continue to look at Isaiah 62 as he's instructed, to continue to find the instruction in what he's speaking to us of what and who we really are. Our opening scripture, 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. That's why I work so hard and use the mighty power he gives me. The NLV, the New Life Version, says, this is the reason I am working. God's great power is working in me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, and headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere with himself. Verse 19, going back to that. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Well, that was Mary. Elizabeth said that to her in Luke 1:45, and blessed, happy, to be envied is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord. Are you believing what is spoken to you? For this comes from the Lord. This comes from the Lord. We need to remember whose we are and why we are. 1 Chronicles 29:16, you're exalted as the head over all. You, Lord God, are exalted as the head over all. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This is the creation. Remember that? Remember that? Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. Amen. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made, and the world was made through him. The world, even though it was made through him, did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This is why we need to receive what he has for us. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, full of power. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free to be with his power, to do his will for his glory. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have we been reconciled? Shall we be saved through his life? We have been reconciled by the blood of Jesus, and we have been saved through his life. Verse 11 says, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The Amplified for verse 11 says, not only so, but we also rejoice and exultingly glory in God and his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation. This hope that we've been given, as verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. John chapter 14, verse 26 talks about he is our teacher. And John 16, 13 through 15 talks about how he will guide us into all the truth and he will tell us of things to come. But before that, it talks about how Jesus says, everything that the Father has been given, I've been given. And now I give it to the Holy Spirit to give to you, to empower us for his power to continue to be doing God's will for his glory. And that's why, as we have humbled hearts and surrendered hearts, for us to be teachable, to receive the instruction the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. And he says, remind us of everything that Jesus said to us. Are we in the Word to hear what Jesus speak to us? Because God will speak to us as we're in the Word, as he'll bring back a memory of a scripture you've heard before. As you're praying and seeking him, he will guide us. But are we abiding in him? Remember, it's in John 14, it says, we'll do even greater works than he did so that we will mean glory to the Father. But then in verse 15, which so many don't go to, John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. He goes on in John 15, he talks about abiding. The Greek word abide for this means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry for times thine own. We here, we need to be four square, standing firm on what he has called Pathway of Hope to be and do, and what he has promised us and spoken to each of us also individually, let alone together as Pathway of Hope, let alone for the body of Christ. We need to abide. John 15, the Amplified says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch of me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, he trims off, he takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teaching I have discussed with you, all of these teachings. Dwell, abide in me, and I will dwell, abide in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. As slide 77 shows, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives, abides in me, and I in him, bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell, abide in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. But if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain, abide in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live in it. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in, abide in his love. I have told you these things, that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full, be a full measure and complete and overflowing. We can be, and it goes on to talk about, we will be called the friends because of that obedience, just as Abraham obeyed his father, even when it didn't make sense. And that's why we see in verse 27, it says, you will testify and be my witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. Slide 73 and 74. Slide 73, remember it at the Christmas time? It shows Mary and Elizabeth, and it shows that they believed and they expected miracles. But it also showed Joseph receiving the miracles, Joseph having that compassionate heart full of love. Joseph was one who believed and expected and trusted in the Lord. These are examples, and yet the rejoicing of one another and helping each other as they were believing and receiving and expecting God to continue to work on their behalf to fulfill what his plan and purpose was for each of them. They needed to have the Lord help them because it was not an easy time. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Catalina, Tucson, and all Judea, Arizona, and Samaria, the United States, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. We need to remember, as 75 shows, that this word that God has given us is backed up with the power of his word. And we can receive that because of what we celebrated, the birth of Christ and also the death of Christ, but also the power of the resurrection. Because of that blood covering us, we can receive the power of that resurrection and the power of his word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 21 says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to the light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9 talks about this, talks about how the word is powerful for each and every one of us. I was looking at those subtitles that they have for Hebrews 9, 1 through 15. The New King James Version subtitles for 1 through 15, the first five verses, the earthly sanctuary, the second five verses, limitations of the earthly service. The last five verses, 1 through 15, the heavenly sanctuary. The RSV says the earthly and the heavenly sanctuaries. He is our sanctuary. As Psalm 46 was our song, he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our stronghold. He is our sanctuary. And then in the NIV says, worship in the earthly tabernacle. And then it goes on about the blood of Christ. The NASB says the old and the new. We are new. And we are in a new covenant because of him. This is what we do when we remember what he did for us, the new covenant. God's word says Christ offered a superior sacrifice. The Good News Translation, earthly and heavenly worship. I loved what I read in this pastor and his wife. It shows a picture on the back, but he worked in a court. He was like a case manager for a juvenile cases, and worked with when they'd meet and counselors and the judge, etc., and determine things. And one day he died, and they rushed him to the hospital. He was ill, and then he died, and he went into heaven, and then he came back, obviously. And what his experience was that the Lord told him, one thing I thought was neat was he was surprised at some of the people he saw in heaven. Because some of the people he saw in heaven, he thought, wow, I never thought they'd be in heaven. And then some of the people that he thought for sure would be in heaven weren't in heaven. That shows us the power of God knows the heart. God sees the heart, and he strongly will be there to support those whose hearts are fully and completely dedicated to him. But he knows the motive, and he knows truly, is Jesus Christ truly, truly, truly your personal Lord and Savior? Because he likes it when people do good, but that doesn't get them to heaven. Where are they? He also understands that those that are struggling with maybe bad habits or things and where they're at or bad attitudes, but is their heart truly wanting him to be, and they're just the manifestation of that victory has not shown itself yet. But he said one thing that Jesus revealed to him was every act of obedience is worship. Every act of obedience is worship. And you hear that over and over and over and over in the word. Obey, abide, obey, abide. He wants us to be with moving with the power that he has for each and every one of us. But do we have hearts that truly want to abide and obey? Or do we have hearts that are wanting to be selfish and self-centered with our minds, not getting our minds out of our minds into the heart of God? Knowing that we have to take care of things, yes. Knowing that we're going to be imperfect, that's why the blood covers us. But he knows where is our heart. And that's why you see these Good News Translation, earthly and heavenly worship. J.B. Phillips, the sanctuary under the old agreement, the old arrangement stood as symbols until Christ, the truth, came. The death of Christ gives him power to administrate the new agreement, the earthly ministry of the old covenant, the heavenly ministry of the new covenant, a visible parable pointing to the realities of heaven. That's the message. The New Life Version, the new way of worship is better. The new way of worship, it has a better gift. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. For the gift will go on and on and on. The Father gave the Son, Jesus Christ. The Son gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit gives us life. The power of our Heavenly Father. The power of the name of Jesus. The power of his blood. The power of that resurrection to be able to go on and persevere. Hebrews 9, 1 through 15, the message says, that first plan, or the CEV says, that first promise contained directions for worship, an especially designed place of worship. A larger outer tent was set up. The lampstand, the table, and the bread of presence were placed in it. This was called the holy place. Then a curtain was stretched, and behind it a smaller inside tent set up. This was called the Holy of Holies. In it were placed the gold incense altar and the gold-covered ark of the covenant containing the gold urn of manna. Aaron's rod that budded the covenant's tablets and the angel wing shadowed mercy seat. But we don't have time to comment on these now. After this was set up, the priests went about their duties in the large tent. Only the high priest entered the smaller inside tent, and then only once a year offering a blood sacrifice for his own sins and the people's accumulated sins. This was the Holy Spirit's way of showing with a visible parable that as long as the large tent stands, people can't just walk in on God. Under this system, the gifts and the sacrifices can't really get to the heart of the matter. They can't assuage the conscience of the people. They can't relieve or ease, but are limited to matters of ritual and behavior. It's essentially a temporary arrangement until a complete overhaul could be made. But when the Messiah arrived, Jesus Christ, high priest of the superior things of this new covenant, he bypassed the old tent and its trappings in this created world and went straight into heaven's tent, the true holy place, once and for all. He also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goat and calf blood, instead using his own blood as a sacrifice, as the price to set us free once and for all. If that animal blood and the other rituals purification were effective in cleaning up certain matters of our religion and behavior. Think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives inside and out. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead-end efforts to make ourselves respectable so that they can live out, live all for God. The CEB says in verses 11 through 15, Christ came as the high priest of the good things that are now here. He also went into a much better tent that wasn't made by humans and that doesn't belong to this world. Then Christ went once for all into the most holy place and freed us from sin forever. He did this by offering his own blood instead of the blood of goats and bulls. According to the law of Moses, those people who became unclean are not fit to worship God. Yet they will be considered clean if they are sprinkled with the blood of goats and bulls and with ashes of a sacrificed calf. But Christ was sinless, and he offered himself as an eternal and spiritual sacrifice to God. That's why his blood is much more powerful and makes our consciences clear. Now we can serve the living God and no longer do things that lead to death. Christ died to rescue those who had sinned and broken the old agreement. Now he brings his chosen ones a new agreement with its guarantee of God's eternal blessings. The mercy seat. But do you remember? It said, Aaron's walking stick in verse 4. Aaron's walking stick sprouted. And that's what's in here. Aaron's walking stick that sprouted. But we now have the power of Aaron's walking stick that sprouted. The Ten Commandments. Our prayers are being lifted up also at the throne of God, and they are in golden bowls right before the throne as a sweet aroma to our Lord God. And we need to remember that Micah 6:9 says, the voice of the Lord calls to the city, and it is sound wisdom to hear and fear, to have deep respect, love, and awe of his name. Hear, heed, by paying close attention to the rod, his word, this precious holy Bible, and him who has appointed it. For the word, the rod, in Hebrew, matah, comes from the word meaning branch. A rod for chastening correction, but for ruling, scepter which represented supreme royal authority and power, an object for throwing, sharper than any two-edged sword, a lance that is sharp, a thrusting weapon. And for walking, this is our staff, this is our support, this is our life, this is our hot bread from heaven. This is our manna. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operating, operative, energizing, and effective, as Hebrews 4:12 says. Genesis 50:21 says, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for and support you and your little ones. And he comforted them, imparting cheer, hope, strength, and spoke to their hearts kindly. We need to remember that as we abide in the Lord, and I don't have my rod, but when we abide in the Lord, he is the one that is our support and our strength. He is the one that can throw the weapons when it needs to be. Whether it's a sharp spear, thrusting weapon, or whether a lance, or whether it is the sharp two-edged sword for the battle that we face. But as John 8:31 and 32 says, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free to receive everything that he has, free to move in his power that is there for us, free to do and not do what he's called us to do and not do. Because sometimes not doing what you want to do, but you know he doesn't want you to do it, is needing his power to be able to not do. We need his power. We need to continue to remain, to keep obeying, to abide in his word, holding fast to his teachings and live in accordance with them, to remain faithful to his teachings. This is what abide means. Those were descriptions from the King James Version, the Young's Literal Translation, the CEV, the Amplified, the NLT. To stay, to continue, to be firm. This is what a true disciple is, one who's willing to receive the instruction and then to move in the power of that instruction. That's where the grace comes in. There was a Billy Graham crusade in 1963 at the Los Angeles Coliseum where 134,000 people gathered. This was the largest single night ever in the history of the Coliseum. 36,000 people came to Jesus during the week that the crusade was held. At the closing of this Billy Graham crusade, a pastor, probably well-meaning, I would think, said to Dr. Graham, "I think with your focus on massive evangelism, you set the church back 100 years. Dr. Graham replied, "Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to set it back 2,000 years. Wow. 80 plus years ago, the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel started on Glendale Avenue in Los Angeles, California. Foursquare's motto on Angelus Temple says, "Dedicated to interdenominational and worldwide evangelism." In essentials, the motto being unity, non-essentials, liberty, but in all things, charity, God's love in us and through us, so that the gift continues to go on and on and on. It is our responsibility to help others and to bring them back to the power of the cross, which happened about 2,000 years ago. On Saturday, I saw something from Reinhard Bonnke that a friend sent to me last Saturday. It says, "We pray because the Holy Spirit prays. There is a remarkable statement in Romans 8, 26 through 27, which says the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." First note, the outstanding revelation that the Holy Spirit prays. Then even more amazing, the Holy Spirit needs human beings so he can pray. He not only prays for us, but through us. Anyone who prays becomes useful to the Holy Spirit, being an instrument in a heavenly wonder. The unutterable groanings of the Holy Spirit are expressed through those who pray. That is what the Spirit does not say. People can say as led by the Spirit. People want to be used by the Holy Spirit, and this is a sure way. He is looking for those who will empathize with his groanings. One way to be useless to the Holy Spirit is to not pray. Let us pray without ceasing. God bless you, and greetings from Florida, Reinhard Bonnke. We know many. I've just mentioned of two evangelists that have been used mightily by God to reach many souls for Jesus. And both of them, one showed, remember, bringing them back to 2,000 years ago, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, the power of the blood, the power of Jesus. The other one emphasizing the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, grabbing our prayers and correcting them up if need be, or moving us to pray in a certain way, or for somebody. We are called to be a house of prayer. We need to listen. So I'm changing up our vision and our mission a little bit. For we are called to be a house of prayer, Healings and Salvation Center. That is true. But listen, I've added a word. We will glorify God as we love, listen, trust, and obey him in helping the blind to see, to know the truth, and set the captives free by being a light for him in the community and way beyond. But I added listen, and I added beyond. Because as we listen to God, as we receive, as we acquire, we're those receptacles. We are listening to him. We are rejoicing and comforted and exhorted and imparted by him and living victoriously, empowered by him to continue to be what he's called us to be. We will then be that light for others to see. We will be those branches of power. We will help others to see that our love that we're moving in, that power of the love, is not because of us, as slide 79 shows. It's because he first loved us. We will move in that power of what we just celebrated, Jesus' birth, but in the power of what we will celebrate, the power of the resurrection. And now we've been called to 24 days of power, of prayer and fasting. So when we praise him, when we recognize, when we acclaim what he is, and we're yielding to the Holy Spirit because we are looking to him, we have eyes to see and ears to hear what he will be speaking to us in our prayer time and when we're in the word. For this prayer and fasting, this fasting will break through the chains, and it will punch through with the power of the prayer and fasting. Once again, because we are looking to him, listening to the Spirit, what the Spirit is talking to us, listening to his Son, we have eyes to see and we have ears to hear. And this will be shown as Pathway of Hope uses the power of prayer. For we pray and we will be moving in that Pentecostal power. Because once again, we are a church that sees and hears what the Spirit is speaking. We will be powered up only and totally because of him in and through us in his word. For we will be able to take the fire of the word, the fire of God, so our vision will be clear, getting rid of any debris, but also moving in the power of the word, his two-edged sword, because we are receiving that power and moving in that power. We will be able to be that strong lioness, yet the bride of Christ, moving in the power as we watch and wait for Jesus' coming soon. But we have that mighty armor of God on us, helping us to get through the tough battles ahead, because we are a church that has the power of praising him, recognizing who he is, acclaiming who he is, and yielding to the Holy Spirit, because we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says. There are many trials and tribulations in this world. For we need to remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places, and many others out there are dealing with that battle, that tornado, that storm in their lives. But because we are a church that is dedicated to pray and fast, we will punch through and we will break through, because we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says. We will receive the revelation, the aha moments that the Holy Spirit will give to us, the power magnifying his love as we look at his word, magnifying what he has done for us. We will expect miracles because we will move in the Pentecostal power. And the fire of God and the bright light that we are here on the top of the hill will brightly burn for him. Others will see. And it'll not just be for here, it'll be for the world. We will have that house of prayer for the nations, that heart, for not only here, but for way beyond. Because we, when we're in the word and we're praying and fasting, we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us. We will move in the power of prayer. Because we will look to the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the hills, the mountains. We will proclaim the power of the Pentecost. For there is power in the name of Jesus. And that is the power of the Pentecost. And it's only because of him. Because he died for each and every one of us. And those chains will be broken. And the power of the word of truth. The power of him. He is truth. He will set, not only continue to set us free and to be able to move more and more and more, but set many others free. For we are a church with the power of prayer. So here is the house, the Bonnie Bray house. This is where Azusa Street Revival started. This is right near Angela's Temple. And that porch had to be rebuilt because when William Seymour was preaching, many people flocked. And the porch collapsed. Many people were saved, healed, and delivered. And then they moved to a warehouse. Well, we're starting here, and God's going to move, just as he did at the Bonnie Bray House, because we are a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And we are going to move. And not too far from the Bonnie Bray House is then Angela's Temple. And then in the far left towards the street, that's Angela's Temple. Right, the building that you see, that's the parsonage. The high buildings, that was the Life Pacific College. Now is a Hispanic Foursquare Church. But remember, Angela's Temple now is working with Assemblies of God. Pastor Matthew Barnett and the Dream Center. We will move in the power of the Lord and see what he will do. And then the next slide shows in the parsonage, there are some of the replicas of the healing. Many people were healed. People would drive by, their stories, and if they were on the way to the hospital, they would ask, if the doors were open, they would ask, and the church was open, they would ask them to stop and go and be prayed for in Angela's Temple, and they would be healed, and they wouldn't go on to the hospital. We will have not those things looking because those are older, but we will have our wall, our rooms full of things showing people have been healed. Amen. And maybe it may not be apparatuses of wheelchairs or crutches or braces, but people will be healed maybe on things now with all these things. The metal things will be healed inside them that's causing pain and grief. Hearing aids will be thrown away. People will be healed. And their hearts will be healed and their minds will be healed. That's right. And so on that could be a lot of hurt and anger and bitterness on the wall because people will be set free. Amen. Because we are a church that moves in the power of prayer. We have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says. We will move in that power as the Holy Spirit, as we take time of prayer, proclaiming the word, the Holy Spirit, and the power, the branches, we will be those because we are focusing on the power of the Lord that only comes from him, for he is our source of light and life. So Pathway of Hope will be a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. Yeah, we may look like, as the next slide shows, Angela's Temple, and we may not. But we want to be what God has called us to be. For Jesus, that power, he is the one who says, there is great power in the name of Jesus. For we will be a church that never sleeps. We will be a church that will be moving in the power. We will be like the Dream Center in Angela's Temple is now. Eyes will be healed. The blind will see. The captives will be set free. People will be healed and many salvations will happen. And not only, as the next slide shows, here in Catalina, in Oro Valley, in Oracle, San Manuel, Florence, Marana, Dove Mountain, Oro Valley, all the way down through Tucson, etc. What way beyond? Because we will be a church that is touched and moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will have the world on our heart also. So, as we saw before, we receive what Jesus has because we have eyes to see and ears to hear. But we see in the next slide, we will be moving in that power this year.
more than we ever have before. That is because that is what God has called Pathway of Hope to do, to be for His glory. We will set the captives free. We will not be a city hidden on a hill. We will be on fire for God, and we will allow His fire to burn in us and to burn through us and out of us unto others. We will have His vision because we will move in the power of why He came, the gift that goes on, the gift of His birth, the gift of the power of the cross, the gift of the power of His blood, the gift of the power of His love, the gift of the power of His precious holy word, the gift of His power will continue to move on as we have hearts and we truly seek Him. We truly have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says to us, the Holy Spirit, because our hearts are wanting to get out of our mind and into His heart and to move in His power for His glory. And that's where we're doing these 24 days of prayer and fasting. 24, it is the number associated with the heavenly government and worship, in which the earthly form in Israel was only a copy. We are told that both Moses and David ordained all these things connected with the tabernacle and the temple worship by direct revelation from God and as a copy of things in heaven. So three divine completeness or perfection times eight new beginnings, 24 days of prayer and fasting, for His kingdom will come. His will be done in our personal lives and in Pathway of Hope and beyond. We need to be His, totally and completely surrendered to Him. Amen. As you pass the elements out, Pastor John, I want you to just pray this one last song. But also at the same time, Chris, I would like the prayer altar ministry to have you have the Lord's Supper right here. And then if anybody wants to come up for prayer, they can do that. I want us to, as we're singing this last song, to have our hearts that are prepared for Him to receive what the Holy Spirit says. I want you to do this as we're just singing the worship, to partake of the Lord's Supper on your own during this worship time. So, but make sure that your heart is right, that you have asked the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that you need to confess, repent of, and confess and repent of that. And then receive the power of the blood of what Jesus did, the new covenant, that we are His, and receive the power of what He's done for us. Because as we do this, as we partake of this, we are doing this in remembrance of what He did for each and every one of us. So we need to have our hearts ready for Him. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And remember, when you take the cup, this cup is the new covenant of His blood, Jesus' blood. As often as you drink it, you do this in remembrance of Him. So as you prepare your hearts, just go before the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything you need to repent of, to be able to receive the power of the remembrance of Jesus, what He did. His body that was broken for you, His blood that was shed for you, that by His stripes you were healed, thanking Him and praising Him that you are washed whiter than snow, that because of the blood He shed for you. We thank you, Lord, for the power of this time of your supper, the Lord's Supper, communion, this special time with you. We thank you and praise you. So on your own while we worship. And then if you need prayer, go up for the prayer altar ministry.
The
Heavenly Father, I pray this prayer of benediction for each and every one. May you, Lord God, bless each one. Watch over each one, guard each one, and keep each one. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto each one. May you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each one and give each one your peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard their hearts and their minds in Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. For this peace that you give, as Pastor Jenna has had a revelation from you, the peace is powerful. Your peace is powerful. And we thank you and praise you for the power of your peace. For it is not like this world. We thank you and praise you that you are with us. You will go before us. You will be behind us. You are on our side. We thank you that we are not alone. Thank you. May you be glorified in our lives and through our lives for you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.